John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he declared, "Here is the Lamb of God." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Distractions. Our whole world is full of distractions, right? More so today than ever. And just think about technology. Technology was supposed to make our lives so much easier. And it seems like it's just made us busier and more distracted. And just consider, if you will, cell phones. I mean, they were supposed to solve a whole lot of problems, right? And I'm sure they sounded great in the research room when they're sitting around the table like, "Hey, let's do this." But none of those people had any inkling of how life would end up today with people spending half of their day staring in the directions of their navels. Now, distractions can be somewhat benefit at times. So my first car was a bit of a clunker. Now, I would do anything to get this car back. Today, it's a classic. It's worth so much money. And I just miss it. But back then, I just didn't appreciate my first car. And do you know what is one of the best ways to fix your car? I mean, I'm talking about you're going down the road and you kind of hear a rattle where the engine starts knocking. Or maybe, like, there's something on the dash. Bing, bing. Do you know the best way to fix that? Turn the stereo up louder. Right? Fix. You don't hear it anymore. It's done. Sometimes this is exactly what we do with life. I mean, too often, we let the distractions get the best of us. And we ignore sometimes the important signs that are just there trying to grab our attention to say something is wrong. And sometimes it gets to the point where it's just too late. I have a friend who, former coworker who just recently passed away. He spent the better part of the last year and a half, well, up until he got sick, taking care of his elderly and ill father. And he was there with him every day. And he was caring for his needs and worried about his soul. And Ron ignored the little warning signs that were going on in his own body. The exhaustion, that achiness, the pain, the not being able to get up too quickly in the morning. By the time, and it took... His father passed away, and then he went into the doctor and said, "You know, I just don't feel right." And 6 months later, he passed away from liver cancer. He ignored all the signs. And quite frankly, for good reasons, he was taking care of his father, but he let the distraction pull him away from the real problem that was going inside of him. And we do this with spiritual things. Whether on purpose or not, sometimes we allow the distractions of life and all the sounds and the cacophony and the news and the things we get angry about in the news. We let all of that stuff get the best of us, and it draws us away from truth. And it keeps us from dealing with the fundamental issues of life, and that is the fact that we are sinful creatures in need of a Savior. And the thing is, life was not that much different when John the Baptist was preaching. I mean, there were those who came to the Jordan, there were those who came to hear the message, but there were plenty who did not. And into the distractions of life in that era, John the Baptist declares, and he declares both to his world and to ours, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So last week I talked a little bit about just how jarring it was to John to have Jesus approach him to be baptized. I mean, John went so far as to even try to stop Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. John said, no. Well, he submitted. But this week, this declaration right here, behold the Lamb of God. That simple introduction of Jesus would have been just as jarring. It would have been just as, I don't know, attention grabbing as what happened with John baptizing Jesus. And the first thing I want to see here is just the simple fact that he calls him the Lamb of God. Because John, in introducing Jesus, could have used a whole bunch of different titles. He could have used Son of David. He was a son of David. He could have introduced him as the Son of David. He could have called him the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. That's one of his titles. He could have called him, and later in his testimony, he calls him the Son of God. But before all the people who were there, and before the whole world, John says, behold, the Lamb. And outside of nourishment and clothing, there's only one use for a lamb, and that's sacrifice. So here's this holy, important person, and you're calling him a sacrifice? There's a few things that John's title would have conjured up in the minds of an Israelite. The first one, the obvious one, is the Old Testament law. There were many lamb sacrifices that took place throughout the year within the Old Testament law. If you did a particular sin, you came to the tabernacle, you came to the priest, you came to the temple with a lamb, among other things. It would have reminded them of the Passover lamb. I mean, that very special lamb that meant atonement, that it meant the exodus from Egypt, which was written into the DNA of an Israelite. They might have thought of Isaiah. I mean, John has already connected his ministry with Isaiah's prophecy of one that would come to prepare a way for the Lord. But in Isaiah's text, in Isaiah 53, the one that he's speaking about in the Lord is the one that would come like a lamb that is led to the slaughter and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. In Isaiah 53, you have this whole picture painted of a sacrifice, a Lamb of God who would be sacrificed. And in this culture, names are very, very important. And among other things, names were given to describe a person's purpose. Through John, God reveals to any and all that would hear that his son is the one who would finally take away sin. All the sacrifices that went before, all the whole system of sacrifices could not fix the fundamental issue in humanity, and that is our sinful nature. The issue was sin, and the only way to take care of that was through God's Lamb. And so John introduces the Lamb of God. And just to make sure that everybody's on the same page, he doesn't just say Lamb of God. He actually says the Lamb who would take away the sin of the world, the whole world. And this is jarring for an Israelite, too, because they were God's chosen people, not everybody else. But God declares Jesus to be the one who would take away the sins, not just of Israel, but of the whole entire world. This is what Epiphany is about. This is the declaration of Epiphany. This is the light that comes to the world. It's that the Lamb of God has been revealed. Not the other titles. It's the Lamb of God that would take away the sins. All of redemptive history, from Garden through Noah, through the Mosaic Law, through all the sacrifices, through David, all of the history of redemption climaxes in this point right here. There is no plan B. There's no other way that God intends to take care of the problem. Christ came, and from the very beginning, his purpose was to be a sacrifice for the world. And here's the thing, no matter how much everybody wanted him to be something else, they wanted him to ride in on a stallion as a king to conquer Rome. They wanted him to, you know, be a good example for how to live your life morally. And in all the ways that people want Jesus to be something else than what he is today. No matter all of that, it doesn't change Christ's purpose one bit. He came as a lamb to be sacrificed long before he became king. And this is the thing about the gospel story. It begins here. The gospel story, the good news, has the cross in view from the very beginning. The other thing I want to see here is the fact that John declared. I mean, this is a deliberate word that the writer says John stood up, and he doesn't kind of hem and haw. He doesn't like, hey, guys, let's try this one on for size. He doesn't offer Jesus for consideration. And he doesn't say that this is a way. This is a way among a bunch of ways that, you know, you can make your own choice. No. John the Baptist stands up, and in front of a society much like our own, he declares, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he doesn't offer them 10 steps to better understand God. He doesn't offer them a game plan. Like, this is how you can work your way into God's favor. He doesn't give them moralism. He doesn't teach them how to act nicer. The only way to repair the brokenness in the heart of mankind is through a lamb. And the thing is, the entire world today and then suffers under this bondage of the tyranny of sin. And yet most people are trying to just, you know, fix their own brokenness through through self-improvement, or they're turning the stereo up and are avoiding it through distractions. And in the face of all the distraction, in the face of all of the lies and all of the other ways that people think that they can be right with God, John declares a fundamental truth, the fundamental truth, that Jesus is the way. This is God's way. Because self-improvement cannot fix brokenness. You might develop a better attitude on life, And that to some extent can be beneficial. But if self-improvement just trains us to overlook our sinfulness, then all it does is drive us away from Christ. And you've heard the phrase out of sight, out of mind. Consider all the noise of the world as being geared towards distracting us from our fundamental need of forgiveness in Christ. Because the only path to healing for our brokenness is Jesus. And we all must come face to face with our own sinfulness. And we must come to the one who can deal with it. The only one who can deal with it. And John declares this word, this truth of God's plan for forgiveness. And it's the truth that we are confronted with this morning, ourselves. Because all the things that we hold on to, whether they're distractions that keep our minds somewhere else, or they're things, the other things that we turn to for strength and for and assurance, the things outside of Christ, all those things are just child's play. When we stand face to face with the Messiah, the one who is called the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, there's a stark difference between those two ways. There's only one that will restore us to God. Lastly, the thing about this word declare that I want to point out is the fact that we must not be afraid to declare truth. Now, I'm not talking about going on a street corner and, you know, hitting people over the head with a Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But this is the Great Commission. This is Matthew's Great Commission. It goes all the way back to the garden and our created purpose. And the fact that the purpose for God's people is and always has been to be a light to the world. I mean, it's part of our liturgy. We prayed it in the collect this morning. Grant that thy people, illumined by thy word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory. Why? That he may be made known and worshipped and obeyed to the ends of the earth. That's our calling. We don't always do it really well. We don't have to be perfect at it. But that's what we're geared to do. That's what we're designed to do. That's what God wants us to do, is to be a light to the world. And the thing is, if we're going to grow, let alone survive as a congregation, we need to figure out this calling to declare. But the great thing is this. Listen, we don't go out offering 10 steps to a better life. We're not going out telling people that you need to be better, that this is the answer, is being better, or that you can become better moral people. That's not our message. Our message is simply that Jesus saves, because the whole world is dealing with this brokenness and looking for an answer. They're just turning the stereo up. What captivates people's heart is an answer for that inner turmoil. And when people come to Jesus, it's because they finally realize that he's the one that can take away their burden and heal their hearts. And that's what we have to offer to people. When we sit down over coffee and just say, hey, this is what I've discovered. This is the truth. Our story is that God has done the work, not that we had to earn our way, or that whoever we're talking to, like, you got to do this. Our story is God has done this for you. And it's a great story, because the Lamb of God has come, and he's come to take away my sins and your sins and the sins of all that he is calling to himself. He's doing the job. We just are a light to this message. So, in conclusion, too many people in the world are running with their check engine light on. There's a knock in the engine. Some people got all four tires flat. And all we're doing is turning up the stereo. But there's a better answer, and it's Christ. We are all in the need of a Savior, and we can't fix ourselves. Amen. I don't even think I have the motivation, the effort to fix myself if it was up to me. I wouldn't want to do the work. I'm lazy. Chuckle a little bit, please. You don't have to agree with me. it's too much work. When John declares Jesus as the Lamb of God, it's not another new philosophy that adds to the noise. It was the truth that God's plan is to heal the world. And the time has finally come. When John declares it, the time is now. God's Son has arrived, and we must come face to face with the reality of His purpose. And each one of us must respond to that calling. Amen.